Hello, I'm Todd Henderson, Senior Minister of Coleman First United Methodist Church, and I'm glad to share with you this week on the Read Together Bible Podcast. You know, one of the amazing truths to discover for me in the book of Acts, as we're reading through this week some of it, is how the discipleship system and plan and process that Jesus implemented, how that was multiplied over and over again in the early church following his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, and then the sending of the Holy Spirit. The foundation of this discipleship system, we can see that somewhat as we read Moses this week in our Old Testament readings in Exodus 23 through 38, as we see the tabernacle plan and the pattern and the production of it coming into place. The discipleship system and plan, most broadly speaking, in the Old and New Testament, was and is based on three primary movements: large group, the small group, and then the engagement, the go, the serving and sharing Jesus. As we read in Acts chapter 5 and through Acts 11 this week, we see the discipleship GPS system, if you will, working over and over again. In Acts 5:14, we see the church growing like wildfire, as it says, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And remember, in Acts 2, the church had already grown in one day by over 3,000. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, we see the discipleship system powerfully at work as it reads, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." You see it there, the large group and worship, the small group, discipleship and community, and then going in the world to engage it in serving and sharing Jesus. When you go back and read Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, we see this in even greater detail. Now hold that image and vision in your mind, and I want us to ask ourselves, am I and is my ministry, my church, my life, is it modeling this? Is someone discipling me? And who am I discipling? And who are my disciples discipling? Those three questions can really start to focus us. Another way to think about it is my life more like a rope of sand? And I'm going to say more about that in a minute. Or is it more like the Waze map app? You ever use that? What do I mean, you might be asking? Well, let me explain. I'll never forget being in the crowd and near the late Reverend Jerry Sisson when he retired from active ministry. And he made a statement I've never forgotten. He said something to the effect, "Well, here I am, and I know I've made a lot of Methodist church members in my ministry, but I'm not sure how many disciples of Jesus I've really made." And that's a question I want to be clear on, as I can now see the end of my own ministry out in the not-so-distant horizon. It's easy to lose sight of exactly what Jesus had in mind when he outlined the Great Commission and the expression of it that we see so clearly in the early church. They got it. And he wanted his church to get it and to make disciples, not just converts or believers or followers or church members. And if we don't make disciples, we commit the same mistake that George Whitefield made over 250 years ago, a contemporary of John Wesley's. And at the outset of their ministries, George Whitefield and John Wesley were close friends. And over decades of ministry, they'd eventually, though, get divided on some doctrinal points, but they kept in touch with one another nonetheless. But they both were incredible evangelists, perfecting the fine art of field preaching, also known as outdoor preaching. But neither man had any difficulty in leading souls to Christ. They were both highly gifted communicators of the good news and gospel of Jesus Christ. But while Whitefield kept evangelism at the forefront of his ministry, Wesley, as we know, went on to do a fair amount of teaching and discipleship to help new converts to grow in their faith. Wesley had a method. Wesley did what Jesus did. That's where he got his method. And he had large groups like Jesus' 72. John Wesley had societies. He had small groups like Jesus had his 12 and his 3. Wesley had societies. He had then had classes. And then like Jesus had his 3, Wesley had his banded discipleship. So the main goal of these was to discern whether for Wesley, they, as he in his own words, quote, whether they were indeed working out their own salvation. You see, the method of discipleship pathway became one of the principal means for determining for Wesley whether or not the Methodists were walking according to God's standard of holy living. George Whitfield was so impressed with Wesley's method and Methodist structure of classes that in later life he attributed Wesley's greater success to it. And I quote, Whitfield said, "My brother Wesley acted wisely. The souls that were awakened under his ministry, he joined in class, and thus he preserved the fruits of his labor. This," Whitfield said, "I neglected, and my people are a rope of sand." There's that question. A rope of sand. Is my ministry, my life, my working with others in the church and in my church, is our discipleship process a rope of sand? See, Jesus left much more than a rope of sand. You read the book of Acts, as we're doing this week. Jesus didn't just draw crowds and increase his average worship attendance. Jesus had a method, a relational plan of discipleship that determined and directed his ministry from the very beginning, that took people from wherever they were starting and brought them and led them and developed them into a devoted and disciplined life that helped turn the world upside down with the good news of Jesus. One of the ways it helps me to think about developing a plan or method is to think about how my GPS works on my phone and on our devices. I drove for years, like some of you may have that are older, with an Atlas map, the big book that needed to be updated every year. And I kept one in my vehicle at all times, and I would use it on vacations or trips out of town. But of course, now we have GPS, and I use it every day to get to members' homes for the first time, and really everywhere.